I was praying yesterday and I said, Lord, do you know why I do what I try to do for you? Because if it hadn't been for you, I'd been lost. I'd be lost, doomed for a devil's hell. I'd probably already been there, the life I was living. So how can I ever repay him? How can we ever repay him? But to endeavor to do his will, give our life to his will. And that's what I'm trying to do. I just want to make heaven, and I know we all do. I thank him for his love, for that song you just sang. This are your prayers for just a little bit this morning. For the past few weeks, we've been talking a lot about idol worship, comparing it to the children of Israel. Today, I want to kind of change the subject. I want to read a scripture. It's found in the 22nd chapter of Ezekiel. It also has to do with the Lord talking to a prophet here because of the sins of the people and because the direction that Israel was going. So the Lord says here in Ezekiel 22 and 30, he said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. I suppose God has always chosen since the early prophets, the ones that he would send to those that he was working with, prophets to remind them of their sins, of their shortcomings, their failures, prophets to warn them from the mouth of God of things that would come if they didn't change their ways. The scripture here says this morning, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But he didn't find any. I pray this morning that the Lord will always have someone that would be willing to stand up for God, be willing to stand up for souls. My little message this morning, I've entitled it, The Man of God. The Man of God. You can say Woman of God too. It includes all of us. A man God is calling today. Someone that's unafraid of men, but fearful and trembling in the presence of God. It's going to take that kind of a mindset. It's going to take that kind of a courage. Not to be afraid of man or what man can do to you. Jesus said for us that don't fear the one that can just destroy your body, but the one that can destroy your body and your soul. That's the one that I want to fear and tremble before his presence this morning. Someone that is not afraid or worried about the frowns and the scowls of man. Someone that is earnestly craves the smile and the approval of the living God. I look for someone to stand in the gap today. It's going to take a special person. The thing of it is, it's every one of us. The Lord's looking for every one of us to stand in the gap. There's souls out there. Someone that you can touch their life just by the way you live. And the way you conduct yourself before them. Someone that possesses a consuming love for Christ. Someone that is giving of himself for the will of God. A look for a man. He said that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the lamb. Now remember, I've spoken recently of when the devil came before the Lord there, and God said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, yeah, but you got a hedge around him, and it can't do anything. The Lord's wanting someone to make up the hedge today, a hedge of protection, a hedge of safety. That's Christ, isn't it? If I be lifted up, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. It was when the hedge, God removed the hedge of the children of that surrounded the children of Israel, and he just gave them up and gave them over, is when the enemies came in and destroyed them. God says, I'm looking for someone that'll make up a hedge. Someone that has a burden that souls are the prize and the treasure of his labor. That's really what it's all about. Being in the work of the Lord for a few years now, folks, I realize that it's really about souls. It's eternity. It's where what we're all facing today. Someone that has the other people or souls in mind and on their hearts. It's who they pray for. It's who they wake up and are burdened for in the middle of the night when the Lord comes along and wakes you up and begins to challenge you that to do more and to be more diligent and more faithful, because souls are perishing and souls are dying and being lost today. In this old world that we live in, he's also looking for someone that is willing to stand alone. That's a lonely place. To be willing to stand alone when others are not willing to stand. Someone that will be willing to be misunderstood. I don't know of anyone that was any more misunderstood than Christ was. But someone, the man of God, that would be willing to be misunderstood. You know, we're just human, every one of us. We all have our own personal Gethsemane. We all have that. We all have our personal trials and things to deal with in life. But as a man of God that will struggle with his own burdens and his own needs, but will bend, be willing to bend to the will of God working in his heart and working in his life. I'm looking for someone that will make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Don't you want to stand in the gap for souls? You know, it's wonderful to know that you're ready, you're saved, and you're ready to meet God. But folks, God gives his people a real soul burden. It's not enough. As long as I'm here that I'm ready to meet God, I want to see others be ready to meet God. I want to see others that understand the value of their souls. Souls are valuable, folks, and we don't put the value on it that we ought to put on it today as a whole. I want to do what I can to stand in the gap for those that don't understand. There's many that don't understand. If I die today, so what? Who cares? There's a lot of people feel that way. Folks, Lord help us today. You know, Lord seemed like has really been talking to me about, I love the church. I preached on the church, endeavored to live that kind of a life that would exemplify the church for many years. But I believe the Lord wants me to look outside just a little bit and realize those walking up and down the sidewalks and driving up and down the roads that don't know anything about the church and realize that they're going to be lost. God's looking for a man. He's looking for someone that he can trust with his treasures. Someone that won't get exalted. Someone that won't get lifted up. But someone that he can trust in giving him his his thoughts and his anointing and his blessings. Someone he can trust with that. That won't go running off and start doing things their own way and decide that they're the ones that's so important here. God wants someone that he can trust. That will stay humble. That will stay humble before him. He needs someone that can make tough decisions. You know, sometimes we have to make tough decisions. Decisions that maybe other people don't understand. But someone that is living so close to God and has bent to the will of God in his life, and God is dealing with him and working with him and anointing him and blessing him and living with him. You know, we're abiding in the vine, and when we're doing those kind of things, we're going to be making decisions that are very hard to make. But you know why, how we make them? We always make them for the benefit of that soul. That soul that is involved in the decision that we make. For the benefit of the soul. In other words, there's many different ways to say this morning. God wants us to have a backbone. I know people that can read the word. People that stand up before the people. People that exhort a little bit. But folks, I've also seen some of those folks that don't seem to have the backbone. Whenever someone, the Lord is looking for someone to stand in the gap for the people, for the congregation, for the church, for whatever it is God is working with. He needs people with backbone that are willing to stand in the gap for others, willing to make the decisions. Every decision that we make is not going to be popular. But the decisions that we make must come from God. Little teaching here this morning as I get into my lesson. The decisions that we make, they won't be popular. Everybody won't understand it. Some people may accuse you. Some people may put you down because of the decision that you made. May not be popular. But folks, if you're connected to the life source and God is working in your heart and in your life, and you have that deep, consecrated relationship with God, folks, it really doesn't matter what people think. It matters what God thinks. Didn't that one of the disciples says it's better to please God than man? Oh, I care what people think, but I care more what God thinks. I want to do his will, don't you? Ask you a question. Do you think God has a life-changing experience ahead for you? A life-changing experience ahead for you? Some people got a few years to live yet, and I will submit to you this morning that he does. He's got a worked a life-changing experience in my life. And if he has a life-changing experience ahead for you, it'll be for your own good. It'll be for your good, and it'll be for the good of souls. We're living in a time. God's looking. You know, I've been hearing some things very encouraging. I've been hearing that there are some young brothers that are beginning to step out and minister the Word of God. I'm very happy about that. I'm very happy about that, that there are those that will consecrate themselves to the will of God, that will live in a place where God can talk to them and deal with them and work with them and call them. Folks, it's a great calling. It's a wonderful calling. And Paul said, it's without repentance. So when God calls and we answer the call, I'm so thankful to hear of some young fellows today that are answering the call of God. God's still looking. He's still looking for a man to make up the hedge and to stand in the gap for the people. But folks, we're living in a time today. You check me here if you think I'm wrong. Our faith today must be radical and revolutionary. In other words, by that I mean counterculture. Just the opposite of the culture that this country has become all around us. Our faith must be radical and it must be revolutionary. Many years ago, I was holding a little meeting in Shawnee, Oklahoma, and I preached a message. And when I got done preaching it, Brother Veda McMillan, of all people, who I had the highest regard and respect for, he got up and he said, "I thank the Lord for the word this morning." He said it was radical. Boy, that hit me pretty hard. I thought, uh-oh, what'd I do? But he said it was the truth. Saints, let's not be afraid to be radical. Truth is still what sets people free. It still is. The truth. You tell them the truth even if it hurts. And Paul said in one place, speak the truth in love, but speak the truth. We've got to have a strong faith today and a deep consecration to God. The true church, as you and I know it today, and I believe this is the true church, is a living witness, a reminder. Listen, it's a reminder of what this nation has forsaken. And as long as you stand by the truth and you tell people the truth, you will be a reminder of them where they have headed. You'll be a reminder of them of what they have left and what they have fallen away from, as long as you stay true and as long as you stay faithful. We live in a nation today, and it was prophesied back in the Old Testament time. We live in a nation today that sees evil as good and good as evil. That's the way we look. Those things are perceived today because we have changed our gods and we went a different direction. In the days of the apostasy, it is the lawless who judge the criminal and the criminals who reign. Remember this, folks. We don't live in an easy time. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the salvation of Jesus Christ. We got everything that God has to offer you and I to help us make heaven. But we do not live in an easy time. We are going upstream and we are fighting an uphill battle against the culture and the social society of this world today. And you and I are going to have strong faith and be willing right in the face of it all. Don't cower down. Don't give in to those things. God's still looking. I sought for a man, but he said I didn't find any. God's still finding some today, and for that I'm very grateful. But you and I must hold unshakably to the eternal word of God. It's the word of God. Oh, how I love the word of God. Now I want to talk about a man. I'd like to turn over to 1 Kings. I pray the Lord will bless our burden that he's given us this morning. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. We'll talk about Elijah for just a little bit. Elijah was one of God's men. He's the one that he called to make up the hedge when Israel was in trouble and had fallen away from God. But I want to point out some things about Elijah. God supplied his needs. He didn't have to depend on the culture of the day. He didn't have to depend on the society of the day. Whenever he was hungry, God sent the ravens to feed him by the brook. And when that brook went dry, he sent him to a widow woman, and she fed him and gave him wood. God took care of the man of God. And he did not have to depend. He wasn't dependent on the things that were around him. He didn't have to be in a place, well, I got to do this because I owe you one. God took care of Elijah. It's important for us to consider that. You and I today must become increasingly independent of the culture that we live in and more dependent on God. It's the only way I know how we're going to be able to get through this, folks, is to become independent of the culture. Don't rely on the culture. Don't count on the culture to be there for you. But God is the one that promised to be there with you for you. He is the one that promised to be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And folks, the corruption that is in our world today and the culture that is all around it, be independent of that. Don't rely on that. Don't look to that for your help and your strength. But be dependent on God. Be dependent on God. Elijah was dependent on God. You might say, well, I wouldn't want to have to live the way Elijah lived. You know, I've pretty much come to the point where I want to live whatever way the Lord sees fit. Whatever the Lord would do, folks, it to me, the bottom line for it all is the value of a soul. The value of a soul. I'd like to read here now in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, 17th verse. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. You see, it can come right down to those in our family, to those that we love. They're going to point their finger at us. And they're going to say, you're just trying to cause trouble. You're just trying to be different. Anything that they can do to cover up the guilt that they feel in their own hearts and in their own lives. He called Elijah the trouble of Israel. Elijah didn't bow down before Baal. He didn't give in to those kind of things. Saints, we can't give in to the culture that is around us today. We can't bow down to those kind of things today. They may come along and they may point their fingers at us and they may accuse us. But folks, take your stand for God. Be strong and true and faithful. Get a deeper consecration before the Lord. Something that will help you stand in these evil days. These are evil days. So he went on to say, now send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal 450 and the prophets of the groves 400 which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, all the people gathered there now, and Elijah, the man of God, he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. I want to remind us that back in Joshua's day, in the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, he came before the people telling them the same things. He said, you need to forsake the gods that were in Egypt. You need to forsake these things. You need to forsake those things. And he says, I don't know who you're going to follow, but as for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. He said that all the way back there in Joshua's day. Here we are in the days of the kings now, and the prophet's coming to him, and the prophet is crying out to the people and saying, how long will you halt between two opinions? Folks, I want to tell you, the devil's slick. The devil's sly. He'll get us in a place sometimes if we're not careful that we are making choices we don't even realize we're making. Yes, he will. People are making choices they don't even realize they're making. My burden this morning, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? We talk about revival. There's been talk about revival in this land. There was a group here a few years ago called themselves Restoration. There's all these kind of things. We know things need to be restored, don't they? Don't we? We know that things need to be. We know things are not right. The world knows that things aren't right. They know there's something wrong. They know there's something that's coming. Don't know what it is, but they know there's something wrong. Well, let me remind us this morning. In order for there to be revival and restoration, there must be repentance. That's the one thing that we're leaving out today, is repentance. Repentance calls for a decision, doesn't it? You have to make a decision. You have to be willing to come before the Lord. And I've been doing this lately. I've done it before, but a lot more lately. Lord, anything, any weakness, anything where the enemy can trip me up, anything that I may be doing wrong, Lord, I want you to show it to me. I want to know it now. I want to be able to deal with it now. I don't want to come up to my time to die and then have to deal with something like that. And I've seen a lot of folks wait till they come up to time to die. I've seen them. Been there with them. Worked with them. Prayed with them. Wait till they come up to time to die to do anything about it. And I'm talking about folks right among us. He says here, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? You going to follow Baal? Or are you going to follow God? And they didn't say anything. Maybe it kind of caught them off guard. Maybe it kind of brought a realization. I've left our one true God, and I've been following this animal all these years that we have fallen away from God and worshiped Baal. I've been following this thing. Maybe it was a wake-up call. Maybe it was a realization to them. How long are you going to halt? Saints, if you're struggling with decisions that you're making in life, and I'm talking about spiritual decisions, how you're going to handle spiritual issues in your life. Folks, don't linger over that very long. Humble yourself down. Say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done in me and through me, that others may be blessed, that your name would be glorified, and that your name would be lifted up on this earth. It's time to get real serious with God. Who do we choose to follow today? I'm telling you, don't follow the culture of the world. Don't follow the way of the world, but you're going to have something on hand to go against it. You're going to have a faith that is radical and revolutionary. You're going to have to be willing to be called names. Jesus said they hated me, and they're going to hate you too. So be it. Folks, the truth is what matters. Holding on to the truth. Who do you choose? Salvation is a decision, isn't it? It's a decision. Whenever you sit under the sound of the gospel and the word of God goes forth and the Lord begins to deal with your heart, it's a decision that you have to make. We have to make individually. God doesn't make that decision for us. He shows us what it is that we need to do, but the repentance must come from my heart. Repentance. How long are you going to halt between these two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And they didn't answer a word. And Elijah said unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Do you know something is missing today? Something gravely is missing in the church world. Out there in the sectism world. And folks, we cannot afford to let it be missing in our own personal relationship with God. You know what's missing? The cross. The cross is what's missing, folks. We must understand the only safety in the approach of the impending judgment that is ahead of every one of us is in the altar of the cross, which means a dying of ourselves, a willingness for me to make the decision, Lord, I want to die right here. I want to die out to those things. Paul said he died daily. The cross, folks. Jesus said, any man come after me, let him take up his cross. Folks, we've got to lay ourselves down on the cross of Christ. He suffered, bled, and died that you and I could be saved. And yet you and I have to make the decision. Are we willing, when the Lord shows us a need, are we willing to repent? Means turn around and go the other way. Are we willing to lay it down? Are we willing to make changes in our life? Ain't none of us made it there yet. The Lord wants to deal with every one of us. You know, the cross is a dying of choice. It's a dying of choice. You choose to fall upon that cross. People today are not willing to choose that, are they? May the Lord help us today. I'm going to move along with this. There's a lot to be said, but I want to move along with this. I want to turn to 2 Chronicles. How many times have you heard this verse of Scripture? 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. Seventh chapter, seventh verse. I'll get it here in a minute. Seventh chapter and the 14th verse. Let's begin reading at the 12th. And I want us to really, I know you've heard this many times, you can probably quote it, but I want us to really pay attention to this morning. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard your prayer. I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. You believe God can do those things? God is doing those things, folks. God is doing those things today. He's trying. He's sending out the wake-up calls. People keep turning the alarm off. They keep turning off that thing of safety that God sends out to try to warn them, and they turn it off. He said, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or I send pestilence among my people. This is what God told Solomon in his day, but this is for all day. All time with mankind. If my people. That if is a big word, isn't it? That if is the drawback. It's the hindrance to why we are where we are today. Because the people haven't done it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. If you make this prayer, my ears are open. I'm listening and I'm looking. Folks, Let's really consider this plea this morning. This is God's mercy. This call is legitimate for this day, for this time that you and I live in. It was originally given to Solomon regarding the dedication of the temple and the people of Israel, but it's applicable to today, to my time. The Lord is still calling for repentance. Repentance. One of the hardest things that I have learned when it comes to people is for people to say, I'm sorry, to one another. people, there's some people that will not say that they are sorry to the one that they have hurt and the one that they have offended. That's a hard thing for people to do today. And people are not telling God how sorry that they really ought to be before God. But as you read this verse, it stands as a readiness. God's ready to hear. He's ready to hear when we call upon His name. If we're repentant, we'll humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. There's no turning today, folks. There's no turning. We're still defying God, clenching our fist in His face. We will do this. We will do that. We will have our way. Lord, have mercy on us today. And when it comes to repentance, who needs to set the tone for repentance? Us. God's people need to set the tone or the example of repentance. Paul said judgment must begin here. It begins right here. You and I here this morning. Judgment begins right here at the house of God. We've got to accept, if we're expecting those out there that don't even really know God to repent until they're taught, until they understand what it is they need to do, how can we expect them to repent when they don't see repentance in our hearts? If they don't see a godly sorrow upon our hearts, how can we expect them to be repentant? Now I want to give you some examples of what I believe that we need to repent of today. What do we have to repent from? You say, well, what does the church have to repent from? We're not sinning. No, we may not be sinning. Folks, there are things that we need to ask God forgiveness for if we're guilty. One of them is apathy. Apathy. No concern, that don't have the concern that I ought to have. Don't have the concern for my soul. Don't have the concern to do the will of God. Don't have the concern to be where the Lord wants me to be and to do what the Lord wants me to do. Don't have a real concern or burden for soul. Just laying back and relaxing, letting somebody else do it, and just going along for the ride. Apathy. Maybe some people need to repent of apathy. Or complacency. Just become so complacent. And folks, some of these are dangerous to those that have been saved for a long time. They're dangerous. Lord, help us. Forgive us, Lord, of being so complacent about this. Just accept, well, I've heard this all my life, and I know this one, and I know that one, and just get complacent about the whole thing instead of being diligent in our closet time at home, getting along with the Lord and getting right down and getting real serious about what we're dealing with here. Complacency. Compromise with darkness. Oh, folks, I see that as a real serious thing right now. Compromising with darkness. Not willing to accept what the man of God says. Not willing to accept what the Word of God says. Not willing to accept what the Spirit of the Lord says. But it's something the old flesh wants to do, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to allow it. I'm going to bring it into my life. Compromise. Can't afford to compromise with darkness. There's another thing that maybe we need to repent of, and that's sins of omission. You know what those are? The Bible calls them sins. Jesus told the Pharisees, you tithe mint and rue, and you do all these things, but you leave the others undone. Judgment, justice, mercy, and the love of God. Sins of omission. Not doing the things that we know we should do because we don't want to do them. Or because we don't see the need of doing them. Folks, I believe that there's some prayers that we can pray as God's people to ask God to search and to seek our hearts and seek our lives. I believe there's closer places that we can be with Jesus. I believe there are higher heights and deeper depths. I really believe that. Secret sins. Remember over there in the 19th chapter of the book of Psalms where he said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep me back from presumptuous sins, presuming something, stepping over your bounds, getting in places that you ought not be. Folks, there's a lot of things that you and I can ask forgiveness for if we need to. There's a lot of things. Not staying humble enough, not staying pliable enough, not keeping our hearts open to the Lord, not being willing to consecrate when the Lord talks to our hearts about something, not being willing to lay it on the altar and give it all to Him. It'll cause us to come up short, folks, when we hold back from the Lord that way. He's only trying to help us make it, help us to be stronger, help us to stand against the tide that is flowing against us today. Maybe we could consider, have we been faithful or have we failed to fulfill our call as the light of the world? Something as simple as that. You say, you are the light of the world, Jesus said. Are we fulfilling that call of being the light of the world? Being the example that God wants us to be? Half-hearted service. Just putting a little bit into it. Folks, I learned a long time ago that the more that you put in this, the more you'll get out of it. The more it'll bless you, the stronger you'll get. The deeper you'll grow. The greater root system that you will have to be able to withstand the elements that are all around us today. Oh, let's not be guilty of half-hearted service, neglect, unfaithfulness, unfruitfulness, sins of ignorance. You say, well, if I'm ignorant, I don't understand. Paul, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1 and 13, Paul said, I persecuted the church because of my ignorance. But when the Lord revealed it to him, he asked forgiveness for it. Sorry, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for you? I thought of this verse as I was contemplating on some of this in the book of the Song of Solomon, 1 chapter 6 verse. It says, he made me keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Folks, I don't know how to say it the proper way, I guess. But I'm learning that if we're not very careful and we don't stay aware of our relationship with God, the enemy is going to take advantage of us. He's going to take advantage of us. I told you there is a conspiracy. And the conspiracy was set up back when Eve fell in the garden. It's not a theory, it's a conspiracy. The devil has conspired against mankind. He is trying to get everyone he can to be lost in the devil's hell. He's trying to do that. Neglect. Folks, we cannot afford to neglect this. You may not keep the proper air in your tires. You may neglect to do a lot of things. But when it comes to your soul, folks, don't neglect it. That's the most valuable possession you have. Your soul. Your soul. My own vineyard. I haven't kept it. I haven't kept it. Is it up to date? Have I been using my talents that the Lord gave me, or are they unused? Just laying there in a napkin somewhere, laying in the ground. Have I used them? Am I using my talents? Am I being faithful to the Lord? Oh, sometimes we can look around our congregations. Just about most places are a lot smaller today than they used to be. We can look around and say, oh, what's the use? You know, there are not very many people here. Not many come on Wednesday night and this and that and the other. But folks, by the grace of God, I'm going to endeavor to do the work of the Lord and God's will, no matter if there's four or five here. Because every soul is precious in the sight of God, and they're precious to me. And I want us to make it, folks. I want to make it together. How's our spiritual receptivity this morning? How do we receive it? Do we have not only our ears open, but do we have our hearts open? Are we willing? Do we want to hear it? Do we want to receive it? I want to read something here in the 12th chapter of the book of John. Jesus talking here, 23rd verse, John 12 and 23, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Where do you want your honor to come from, folks? From man? Oh, that fellow there, he's a good speaker, he's this, he's that. No, I want my honor to come from God. God honored his Son. And he said here, he that loveth life shall lose it. Or if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I want to keep my own vineyard. I want the figs and the grapes to plenteous grow. I want it to be a place of succulents. Fruit that people will want to pluck off. I tell you, I don't get them very often, not these kind. I like to buy grapes. Bought some grapes a couple of weeks ago and they were big. Very, very good red grapes. Some of the best grapes I've had in a long time. Felt like they must have come from Brother Taylor's farm. The other night, wife says, you want to eat some grapes? I said, honey, those have been gone a long time ago. When something's good, folks, it don't last long. Those have been gone. Oh, that's right. We did finish them, didn't we? I said, yeah, you got a few of them. But I ate most of them. What are we dishing out today? What do we have on hand? Are we bearing the fruit? Are we using our talents God's given us? Some people don't have a mind, folks, to even take care of themselves. You know that? And yet, Lord's give us minds to be able to take care of ourselves. He's given us a mind to make our decisions in life. And our decisions ought to be Godward, ought to be heavenward. Okay, I want to bring this to a close with some questions. I have some questions. You only have the answers. If I say it this way, in light of eternity, what does all this mean? My first question is, what will you do on the day of your judgment? Not when the Lord comes back. Well, the day of all days, the great judgment day. But what will you do on the day of your judgment? Because when you take your last breath, you're going to go to see the judge. What will you do on the day of your judgment? Is it possible that you and I may see as the slightest of sins in ourself, that God can view it as possibly something even greater than what we do? Jesus came along and brought a doctrine, a teaching. Not so much that you go out and commit adultery, but if you look upon a woman in your heart and lust after her, you have committed adultery. If you've got hatred and anger and murder, hatred and anger in your heart, you may have already committed murder in your heart against that individual. I have a warning here. Beware of comparing yourselves and measuring yourselves by the standards you yourself have created. You know, as we go along the way, sometimes if we're not careful, we can set our own standards. You better be careful. You better beware of measuring or comparing yourselves by the standards that you've set or you have created. That's dangerous. The prospect of entering into eternity without God is graver, more serious than any other thing that you and I have to consider. That's why we come to service, isn't it? To be challenged, to consider where we are, consider what the Word of God says, what He requires. Jesus put Himself in our place to bear our judgment. But the call today in the church and outside of the church to you and to me is to return, return, return. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and folks, return back to God. Turn from your wicked ways. Return. Let's not be complacent about what God has given us. We thank Him for His salvation. We really do. And I'm not trying to unsave anybody. What I'm saying is that we need to spend a little more time in being aware and careful in how we're conducting ourselves before God. It doesn't take man very long to start drifting away from God. It doesn't take long. A little apathy, a little complacency, a little compromise here and there, and you're going to find yourself drifting away from God. Now, I want to finish with this. We're talking about the man of God. I want to finish with the man of God. The message for today. There's a lot of messages that needs to be preached. The Lord wants sent out. But the message for today is not likely to win popularity contests. You know, my day, according to nature, about over. But I see a young brother here that's got probably days ahead of him. And I kind of hate to tell him, but it ain't going to get easier. You're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged. What are you going to do with it? It's not popular. The message today, more than likely, will be attacked, discredited, and criticized. I've seen it. I've seen that done right among us. I've seen it done. The message today will be so unpopular and probably hit some sensitive areas sometimes that even the messenger will be attacked. You see what's going on in our world right now in our country? Do you see the attack upon men today? Do you see all the accusations that women are coming out and putting on different men today? I'm not here to say whether they're right or wrong, but I'm here to tell you there is an attack upon men. That attack has started years and years ago when they began making man look like the simpleton in the home. That attack started years ago, and now They will do anything they can to discredit, to tear down. And folks, be very careful, young men. Be very discreet in how you handle yourself. Don't get yourself involved in things where someone else can come along and make an accusation and you don't have any witness, a human witness. No matter how much you cry, no matter how much you deny, once that is done, it will discredit your ministry. It'll discredit you. I've made it a point down through the years. My wife has not been with me much. But down through the years, when I go down to an altar and pray with a woman, there will be someone else there first. Always. Any of us have a right to go down and pray with someone, but don't you go down there praying with the opposite sex without someone else there. Someone you have confidence in, someone you can trust. Folks, integrity is a very important thing. If you don't have integrity, people are not going to have confidence in your ministry or in the gift that God has given you if you don't have integrity. The devil, you say, well, that'll never happen to me. My wife says she worries about me. I said, honey, who in the world would mess around with an old broken down old man? She said, today you don't know what people might do. And she's absolutely right. And I will continue to keep that integrity intact. We must be very careful how we deal with one another, even in the church. Even in the church. Lord help us today. It's a shame. These kind of things have to be said, but they need to be said. They need to be said. There's ones coming along behind us, older ones. You better really be careful, and you better be on your guard, and you better take the counsel of the old man of God if you want to have a successful life for the Lord. You better take the counsel. In the ancient days, we read about the towers over in Jerusalem and other big cities. Along the walls, the big walls there to defend and keep out the enemy, they had towers built along those walls. Who was in the towers? The watchmen. They put men there at nighttime, daytime, round the clock to keep looking out over the horizon. Folks, it hasn't changed today. We may do a little things a little different than the way they did it back then, but it hasn't changed today. God's looking for a man that'll make up a hedge and stand in the gap. He's looking for a watchman that is not afraid to cry out and warn the people. That's what he's still looking for. Because of complacency and apathy and all these kind of things that people are falling into. Those watchmen stood in those towers at night while people were sleeping, looking out over the landscape to see if there was any enemy approaching. Folks, by the help of the Lord, I want to do that till the Lord takes me out of here. I want to warn that the enemy is approaching. Because he is. No doubt in that day when the watchman sounded the alarm, it was probably chilling. It was probably jarring to them to wake them up out of a sound sleep and the watchman warning them, the enemy's coming. No doubt it was disturbing to him. Probably a very ominous sound in the middle of the night. And this man picks up a ram's horn and he starts blowing on the ram horn. It can only mean one thing. The alarm has been sounded. Wake up. Get ready to fight. The enemy is near. The man of God. The one that is willing. Let me ask you something. His call was to wake up. But because he doesn't want to disturb the people, he doesn't want people to lash out at him, should he refrain from blowing the horn? Should he refrain? Say, well, I better not do this. You know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. People are sound asleep. I better not. No, he shouldn't refrain, folks. He should sound the warning. He should sound the wake-up call. Even if people don't want to hear it, he should sound the wake-up call. If he didn't, he could be found guilty of their destruction. They could be destroyed and he'd be the guilty. Well, I saw the enemy, but I didn't want to say anything. I know people don't like this message. I know people don't want to hear these things about their own lives and how they're living. I know people don't want, so I didn't want to say anything. Folks, God's going to hold him accountable. Scripture tells us that. If I tell you to warn them and you don't, their blood's going to be on your hands. And if we don't warn folks, as watchmen in the towers, if we don't warn, we're going to be derelict of duty before God. We're going to give an account of that thing. And what happens if he doesn't blow the ram's horn and the enemy comes in? They're not going to be prepared. They're not going to be prepared, folks. Don't we want to be prepared? The Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. I believe God has done a perfect job, if I can say it that way, in preparing a perfect place for you and I. May the Lord help us to do what we need to do to be prepared. It isn't going to just fall in our laps, folks. As the writer of old said, we ain't going to make it by the skin of our teeth. The five wise and the five foolish virgins, folks, five of them were foolish. Just played around, apathy, careless, neglect. The ram's horn blew. The call was given, and they weren't ready. They weren't ready, but they were all virgins. Lord, help us to stay on our guard, folks. There's a song in our book. I don't know, you may have a song on your heart, one of you, but I'd like for us to sing, Savior, Thou Art Life to Me. 460, I believe it is. We need to get a good hold on God. Now, I've said a lot of things this morning. We're fighting against the culture of what is around us today. Be careful, because we are easily persuaded sometimes. We can be taken in to these things that are around us. Lord, help us today to be diligent. Help us to be diligent, searching our hearts. Lord, is there anything? You know, that's what I've heard people say when they knew they were getting ready to die. Been right there with them in the room. And they said, Lord, is there anything else? Is there anything that I need to do? Do you know how far away you are from eternity? One heartbeat. One heartbeat. Every one of us is one heartbeat away from eternity. I trust this will be a serious, solemn thought this morning. The man of God does have a responsibility. He's got to be strong. He's got to lean heavily and hard on the Lord. But he's got such a great responsibility and duty to those that are around him. May God help us all to be faithful and true, to make heaven our home. I pray for me.